The Clearwater Conspiracy is the story of a typical campaign launched by the Scientologists back in the middle 70s. Much of what you will hear is still under investigation by a federal grand jury in Florida. It demonstrates graphically the tactics used by church officials in furthering their religion and in persecuting anyone they felt was trying to get in their way.
So Clearwater, in effect, was a microcosm of the kind of operations undertaken by the Church of Scientology.
Clearwater used to be a quiet, even placid town on Florida's west coast, next door to St. Petersburg and Tampa. A popular retirement community, conservative politically, mostly Baptist. But a few years back, Clearwater's economy was beginning to feel some pain. Tourism was off. The city's downtown area was beginning to dry up some when in 1975, along came an unknown group calling itself United Churches of Florida, looking for a place to settle. And they put up almost $3 million in cash for two big downtown buildings, the old Bank of Clearwater and that imposing structure, the Fort Harrison Hotel. Much of the business community was happy, but some city officials and the local press were curious about the identity of United Churches of Florida. Who were they, this church that had that kind of cash? Well, it turned out that United Churches was in fact the Church of Scientology, and that initial deception infuriated these citizens of Clearwater, shown rallying a couple of months ago against the Scientologists. Their former mayor, Gabe Cazares, was bitterly skeptical of the church. He is a key figure in Clearwater's continuing rebellion against the Scientologists.
L. Ron Hubbard has stated that Scientology is extremely wealthy, that it has the money to buy cities and even countries. That destructive cult has to know. Let us make it perfectly clear for once and for all that sparkling Clearwater is not for sale.
Now, spokesmen for the church insist they came in under the cover name of United Churches of Florida only after they had been repeatedly harassed when they tried to set up shop in the open in other cities. But that explanation did little to calm the people of Clearwater, who saw Scientology as a cult and were furious that a good chunk of Clearwater real estate had been taken off the tax rolls. The mayor continued his attacks, and for his pains he was placed on the church enemies list. They set out to smear him with sexual innuendo, to ruin him politically. I read to him from a church memo, culled from documents we acquired in our investigation, just what they planned for Cazares.
The purpose of this operation is to actually get real documentation into the files of Mexican licensed bureau or bureaus stating that the mayor got married in Mexico to some Mexican gal 25 years ago who is not his wife, so puts the mayor in a position of bigamy. This can be accomplished either by a bribe or a covert action. So what you're saying was that they were trying to destroy your character, assassinate your character.
Without question. They did many things to try to destroy me.
Mrs. Cazares told us what the church did to her.
Things like this never happened to Gabe and I before. We've been married 29 years. Suddenly, I was getting all kinds of mysterious phone calls.
Saying?
Girls calling this Gabe there. Telling me there's something personal between he and me. Asking me if I knew where, do you know where Gabe is now? Things like that, you know.
It was difficult for us to imagine how the tale the Cazares told meshed with the religion that calls itself Scientology. We wondered just who are these Scientologists and what they're doing inside Clearwater's historic Fort Harrison Hotel. This library is on the 10th floor of the Fort Harrison, which is in effect the Clearwater Seminary of the Scientologists. Men and women from around the country, indeed around the world, come here to study the gospel according to L. Ron Hubbard. Scientology, which calls itself a religious philosophy that can be applied to Christians and non-Christians alike, aims at helping an individual to find himself, herself, through spiritual fulfillment. Its primary religious artifact is something called an e-meter, used by church ministers, or auditors as they're called, to identify past painful experiences and eventually to blanch them out, to reach a state of peace or clear in church jargon.
Very good. You call a time life this cheerful.
Yeah, early in the week here, I got up and...
Church members swear by this e-meter auditing process. They swear by Ron Hubbard and Scientology to such a degree that they will pay, for instance, $2,255.45 for a Ron Hubbard personal ethics and integrity course. Without the man in person there, he is now a recluse. or a public relations course for $10,525.41. Room and board are extra. The Church of Scientology will not open its account books, but its assets are reported to run into the tens of millions. They've already spent over $10 million in cash for properties they have bought in Clearwater alone. It was partly the church's real estate acquisitions in Clearwater that attracted the nearby St. Petersburg Times to the Scientology controversy. But the Scientologists didn't like the stories the newspaper published about them. So the St. Petersburg Times wound up on their enemies list. Reporter Betty Orsini was doggedly pursuing the story of the church's undercover campaign in Clearwater. And so the Times became the object of an all-out attack. Scientologists stole files from the paper's legal offices. Its reporters and editors were harassed. Only, says editor Eugene Patterson, only because the St. Petersburg Times was covering a news story.
That's all we were trying to do, find out who they were, what they were up to, so that we could inform the community.
And what they do to you?
They put the heat on. The pressure gets pretty heavy from them.
What about the reporter who was involved in the investigation?
First, they slandered her to me in an effort to compromise her job.
Slandered her?
Saying she was printing lies, that she was not giving their side, that she was being unprofessional. After that, they went after Mrs. Orsini's husband. He heads up a small charity here in St. Petersburg, Easter Seals. He's the executive director. Mm-hmm. And once they found they could not get Betty Orsini off the story, or get the St. Petersburg Times off it, the next thing we knew, an anonymous letter, a poison pen letter, charging criminality to Mrs. Orsini's husband, landed on our city desk and that of two or three other newspapers in Florida. The man was innocent, and I think they thought that we were some Bush League newspaper that they could scare out of the box.
But the most persecuted victim of the Scientologists, speaking here at an anti-Scientology rally in Clearwater, was Paulette Cooper. Paulette Cooper wrote a book back in 1971 called The Scandal of Scientology.
Now, the Scientologists did not want you to read this book.
To try to silence her, the so-called guardian's office of the church cooked up a scheme to steal some of her stationery and make it appear that she had sent the church office two bomb threats. I read from one of the forgeries.
James, this is the last time I'm warning you. I don't know why I'm doing this, but you are all out to get me, and I'll give you 1 week before Scientology is an exploding volcano. I'll knock you out if my friends won't.
Right. And as a result, I was arrested. I was indicted on 3 counts. I faced up to 15 years in jail if I was convicted. The whole ordeal fighting these charges took 8 months. It cost me $19,000 in legal fees. I went into such a depression. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I couldn't write. I went down to 83 pounds. Finally, I took and passed a sodium pentothal, or truth serum test, and the government dropped the charges against me in 1975.
Another church plot against Cooper was named Operation Freakout, intended to get her placed in a mental institution until she stopped writing about Scientology. Church officials even launched a graffiti campaign against Cooper.
They put my name up on walls in New York City where I live with my phone number so people would call me. They put my name on pornographic mailing lists so that I would get all kinds of disgusting mail. You see, for years I was saying that these types of things were going on. And people thought, well, what is she talking about? This is a church. And finally, after 11 years, I see that everything I said was true and that Scientology turned out to be worse than anything I ever said or even imagined.
We were frankly surprised that two high church officials agreed to answer the various charges against the Scientologists. The Reverend Kenneth Whitman is the 32-year-old president of the Church of Scientology in the United States. David Gaiman is worldwide head of public relations for the church. I asked him about the church's campaign to discredit Cazares and Patterson and Paulette Cooper.
Yes, it sounds dreadful.
And as a matter of fact, it turned out to be rather dreadful.
If you judge by the net result, absolutely true.
You set out to smear Gabe Cazares, the then mayor of Clearwater, sexually, that is, smear him with sexual innuendo, harassed his wife on the telephone, the Church of Scientology.
I cannot defend the intention and the statements within this documentation, within this particular document.
The two church leaders went on to explain that those attacks were made only in response to perceived threats to the existence of the church, that some overzealous members were merely protecting their religion. Still, we found those actions difficult to understand.
You must admit, if I lived in Clearwater, if you lived in Clearwater and weren't a member of the Church of Scientology, you'd say, what in the world has this got to do with religion?
I think that we, the Guardian's office, fell into the arrogance of the end justifies the means, which is wrong and alien to Scientology, just as it is wrong and alien to other groups who have gone down the same stony road. It is a crisis point for us.
After confessing wrongdoing by church officials, the two nonetheless insisted that the church's founder, L. Ron Hubbard, had nothing to do with such methods. So I read from a Hubbard policy letter.
If there will be a long-term threat, you are to immediately evaluate and originate a PR campaign to destroy the person's repute and to discredit them so thoroughly that they will be ostracized.
That I have never, ever seen an issue, and I'm familiar with this documentation. I have never seen such an issue.
Well,
I have...
Have you seen that?
Yes. Yes. Then this in this form is...
May I see it in just a second?
Yes.
It says here, don't ever tamely submit to an investigation of us. Make it rough, rough on attackers all the way. You can get reasonable about it and lose. Sure, we break no laws. Sure, we have nothing to hide, although you will agree that you did break laws.
In the time that was written.
1966.
Right.
Banish all ideas that any fair hearing is intended and start our attack, the Scientology attack, with their first breath. Never wait. Never talk about us, only them. Use their blood, sex, crime to get headlines. Don't use us.
Yes,
that's your man.
That's right.
Gaiman still insisted we were taking Ron Hubbard's words out of context. He said that Hubbard was against the breaking of any laws, and the Reverend Whitman elaborated.
And our position is this, that if any Scientologist has broken the law, then he's going to be dealt with per the law.
What you seem to be saying, in effect, is, to Clearwater, mea culpa, we were wrong, our shame, now let's move ahead.
Exactly.
And you want us to believe you?
No, not even so. That's why we want you to look. That's all. Look, observe for yourself. Judge us by our deeds and by who we are and what we are and what effects we produce in society.
What the Reverend Whitman is saying is that in future the church will undertake to atone for past sins by positive contributions to Clearwater.
The people involved in Scientology speak for themselves, which is our best representation.
That sounded fair enough to us. So we sat down with three church members suggested to us by Whitman and Gaiman. Nancy Cass, a former U.S. State Department Foreign Service officer. Mario Fenninger, a concert pianist. And Diana Alfano, a longtime resident of Clearwater. And from the start, it was apparent that although the two church leaders seemed eager to plead guilty to church wrongdoing, they apparently had not communicated any comparable sense of guilt to these church members.
You say that ethics are very important to a Scientologist.
Very, very to me.
Well, then please try to help me understand the ethics involved in trying to smear the mayor of Clearwater, in trying to get the job of the fellow who runs the St. Petersburg Times. All true and all acknowledged. In the name of religion? Doesn't that make you say, hey, my religion would do a thing like that?
In the name of survival of a religion? If these people are trying to knock the religion down, what do? Sit back? I mean, you know, this is not the first persecution of a religion.
And you really believe that Gabe Cazares and the St. Petersburg Times and Paulette Cooper were trying to destroy Scientology? Therefore, you commit crimes going after Paulette Cooper. You forge letters that bring her up on federal charges that she's going to be a bomb thrower. You destroy her name. You indulge in sexual innuendos. A church does that, Mr. Fenninger?
Well, I was not informed about all this, really.
You read?
No, I don't.
You know what I do when I read that kind of stuff about Scientology? I don't even read it.
Why?
Because it doesn't interest me. Let the people who have to handle that handle it. Because I have too much to do, and I can't be bothered with that kind of stuff. Let them handle it.
But these are people...
Because we will survive.
Diana Alfano has a shop across the street from the Fort Harrison.
You are aware of them. You are aware of all those facts.
No, I was not aware of all the facts. I'm still not aware of all the facts.
See, as I said earlier, an attack on the church is not important to us because Scientology has to survive. It has to.
And Scientology is surviving, not just in Clearwater, but worldwide. As we said, the church is still under investigation by that federal grand jury. The Scientologists have paid $125,000 in back taxes in Clearwater, and they continue to try to persuade the skeptics there that they intend to mend their ways. The hostility against them lingers.